You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
I just want to, just before I chat a bit about the Word of God, I just want to highlight one thing, just so that we all know, and we can be praying. I was just talking with Ed Penner before the service, and Lynn is currently in the hospital, and she's been there for a day or so. Anyway, Ed just wanted to make sure that we knew and that we would be praying for her, and I want to do that right now. I don't know a ton of details, but I just would ask that you remember Edwin and Lynn during this time. I'm not sure if she's really in a position conducive to visitation right now. I think she is in some kind of isolation, so just so you know that. But you can make sure that you are praying for her, and when I get some more information, I will certainly try to let you all know. But why don't we just ask the Lord's blessing here on our study, and then also for Edwin and Lynn too. Let's pray. God, we just lift up Lynn before you today, and she can't be with us here this morning. But we know that you are watching over her. We know that you have all of our best interests in mind, certainly Lynn's. And so, Father, we pray that you would just be with her, restore her to health, as just the doctors would know exactly what needs to happen, and that they would just take control of that situation. And Lord, we just pray for Edwin as well. During these uncertain times, I pray that you would just give him peace and comfort. And Lord, we're just thankful that we can surround them as a church. And we just pray for this time that we could spend. Thank you, God, for all the kids and for our Sunday school program, just to be able to present the truth about what this season is really all about. And so, Father, we pray for our time here just in the Word, and we just pray that you would give us clarity for what we will see and what you want us to know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's my dad's birthday today, which also means that it's Pete Dirksen's birthday today. So happy birthday, Pete, and happy birthday, Dad. It's always fun, kids. You just pretend the applause is for you. I like that. I always think about Dad at Christmas time, and Pete too, because I mean, mainly, I had a really good friend in high school too. His name was Joel. His birthday was actually on Christmas Day, and I just, when I was growing up, I thought that really stinks. I mean, because where's the distinction? Where do you get the birthday presents plus the Christmas presents? And it was always just really hard for me to kind of, I always felt bad for my dad. He didn't seem to mind, but I felt bad for him. And then later on in life, I thought about Jesus. And, you know, technically, Christmas time is Jesus' birthday, but what did Jesus get on his birthday? And I think that, I mean, I know that maybe we're just using some personification and that kind of thing here, but I do think that Jesus did receive a gift on Christmas Day. And not only did Jesus get something on Christmas Day, but he also gave something on Christmas Day. And I just want to highlight those things for you. If you got a Bible, I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 1. And if you don't have it, I will certainly read it for you. And I just want to highlight a few verses here just in light of this whole idea of birthdays and what Jesus got and what Jesus brings. John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, has made him known.'" So here's what I want us to know. Because sometimes when we get to Christmas time, we get caught up in, and it's not a bad thing to be caught up. We get caught up in the presents. We get caught up in the turkey, in the food, and the turkey, and all the awesome stuff that happens with family and everything. And those are all wonderful things. But they tend sometimes to blur what Christmas is really all about. And it is about those things, but it's about more than that. And I want us to leave this place today just with the idea of what really Christmas is all about. And if somebody asked you, sum up Christmas in one sentence, I would say you could do it in four words. And it's right there in John chapter 1 and verse 14. It's just this: the Word became flesh. That's what Christmas is all about. John chapter 1, right from the very beginning, it says, "In the beginning," verse 1, "was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him there was not anything made that was there was not anything made that was made. In him was life." So Christmas is really all about this, what John is talking about, this Word. He's talking about this Word, and the Word that he's talking about is just another name for Jesus. It's another name for truth. And what we want to communicate to people at Christmas time is this idea of truth and what the truth is all about. And the truth that we want to communicate is what these kids have communicated over and over again this morning about the truth of Jesus. And the truth about Jesus that we want to communicate to the people of this world is that the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. If you want to know what Jesus got on Christmas Day, it was he got flesh. He got humanity. That's what he got. That's what he received on that very first Christmas day. It was not his beginning, but it was his earthly beginning. The Word became flesh. When you put that phrase all together, it means this: the one who is God, because we believe that Jesus not only was human, but we believe that he was fully God. It's not something that we can maybe even wrap our human minds around, but the Bible tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, was fully human and fully God all at the same time. We don't know how it happened. It's something supernatural. It's something miraculous. It is true. The Word, the one who is God, became flesh, became human, became frail, became limited. He became one of us. It tells us that God put on our humanity. The one who was with God and was God, according to John, became God with us. That's the story of Christmas. The Word became flesh. God added humanity to deity in Jesus. So if you want to know what Jesus got on his Bethlehem birthday, well, he got flesh. That's what Jesus got. But amazingly enough, he decided that he would bring some gifts for all of us at the same time. So he got flesh, he got humanity. What did he bring for us? Well, the first thing that he brought for us is actually in verse 14 again, and I would just read it for you. And the word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know what Jesus brought? He brought you an unparalleled view of who God is. That's what he did. He embodies God's glory. That's what John is saying. John is saying that the Word became flesh and then he dwelt among us. Jesus gives us this view of the glory of God because he embodies that same glory. He has that same glory. And that verse or that phrase in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you go back and you look at the original language, it actually means to pitch a tent. It's significant because the early readers of the Gospel of John would have hearkened their minds back to the tabernacle. And we know if you read through Genesis or you read through Exodus specifically, you read about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a representation of God's presence among his people, right? But in human terms, it was just a big tent. It had some amazing things inside it, but it was just a big tent. But it was a place that represented the presence and the glory of God to his people. It was a place that was actually holy and unapproachable. And the Bible, warned people that they couldn't get too close to this place because the glory of God was residing there. And now, here in Bethlehem, we get this idea, the Word became flesh and dwelt, pitched a tent, where? With us, among us. The story of Christmas is God with us. And so what that means is that Jesus, embodying God's glory, came to be with us. You could get close to this tent. Jesus' mother and father and the shepherds and the magi and later children came close. And there were sick people and there were tax collectors and there were prostitutes and there were Pharisees and there were fishermen. They all got close. They got this up close view of Jesus and they got this up close view of the glory of God. And they got this view in a way that was absolutely unprecedented. And so I guess what I'm just trying to say is that Jesus embodies the glory of God. And he brings that glory close enough for us to see it clearly. And in saying that, so I wonder what that means when you say Jesus embodies God's glory. If you look at early art, you always see Jesus, depicted in these pictures as, shiny, or there's this little orb of light over his head or whatever to help us know who it is. But the Bible doesn't say, and you shall find the baby with an orb or frisbee of light over its head. It doesn't say anything like that. It says you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do you know how the people actually saw God's glory in Jesus? It spilled out of what he did. You look at the wedding at Cana in the Gospel of John. You look at what happened with Lazarus. You look at the centurion. You look at the way he prayed in John chapter 17. Look at the way he interacted in John 13. And then you look at the end when he was crucified, when he was on the cross, the centurion, what did he say? Truly, this was the Son of God. One of the gifts that he brought you at Christmas was embodying or showing us a portion, showing us a picture of what God is like, God's glory. And then I would just say one more thing. And John gives it to us, right? In John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, what he got was he got humanity, he got flesh. And then he brought us a picture of God's glory. And he also brought us this combination of grace and truth. He comes, and when he came, he brought this grace and he brought this truth. Not, he didn't bring grace or truth. He brought grace and truth. And just like stop there for a second. Just think about that. Think about how hard that is. Think about how hard it is to be gracious and truthful at the same time. I mean, some of us, some of you, some of me, we are really good at being gracious. And there are others here who are really good at being truthful. However, and you know what? You will find a combination of all those people in church. You'll find them in other places too, but there are a good many people who are super good at truth, telling you what you need to hear, and maybe some things that you don't need to hear. And then there's some people here on the gray side that are going, nah, it's all right, no worries. But where do you find the rare person that is really good at grace and really good at truth? Boy, that's hard to find, isn't it? It is. But just like Jesus combines deity with humanity in one person, he also combines grace and truth. And if you think about it, there aren't very many people that do that well. Here comes Jesus and he brings grace and truth. You know what? If you have nothing, no, it's not the right way to say this. If you have some time on your own this Christmas, read through John's gospel. Just read it from the beginning to the end, and you will see Jesus embodying and showing the people that he encounters with grace and truth over and over and over again. You can see him do it. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. He encounters this woman and he sits down. What does he say to her? He says that he can give her living water. Water that will satisfy. Grace. And then he talks about her five husbands. Truth. And he combines the two. Look at John chapter 8. He encounters this woman who was caught in adultery. I'm not sure where the man was, cowering in the dust or whatever. But what does he say to her? He says, first, neither do I condemn you, grace. Go and sin no more, truth. John chapter 13, talking to Peter, he says, Peter, you are going to deny my name three times. You are going to do that three times. That's the truth. And then what does he say later on? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Grace. And Jesus does that for you too. He comes to you and he tells you the truth about yourself. That you're a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior, that's why I sent my son Jesus to you. He tells you about who you really are, and he tells you about who you are like no one else does, and he tells you that you are not good enough on your own. That's the truth. He tells you all about your sin. He gives you the truth, the unvarnished, ugly truth. And then what does he do? He sends his son in grace. I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That is grace. So, what did Jesus get on his Bethlehem birthday? Well, he got flesh. He got our humanity. But what did Jesus give for Christmas? Even more importantly, he gave us a vision of the glory of God. He gives us this wonderful combination of grace and truth. He tells us about our need, and then he brings us to himself as a savior. And if you want that, just like with every other Christmas gift that there is out there, you need to reach out and receive it. All the gifts that Jesus brings are wrapped up in himself, but you don't get those gifts without getting him. And that's why the most famous verse in the Gospel of John says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And when you let that soak in, and when you let this idea that the Word became flesh pitch this tent right here in the middle of all our mess and personifies for us the truth about ourselves, and then gives us the grace to forgive us of that mess. When you let that all soak in, when you receive it, you know, in spite of what's happening in your life, whether it's, you know, whether Christmas is the most glorious thing that you experience, or it's the worst month because you're lonely or you're alone or you're suffering a loss or the bills are adding up or whatever it is, and you think, there's nothing glorious about this time. I beg to differ. In spite of all those things, I'm not saying those things aren't important and real, but the thing that trumps even the mess that we reside in is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and brings us grace and truth. When you let that soak in, you just can't help but, this can't help but be a glorious day of the year, moment, time. And I hope for you this Christmas that A, you understand, you know that that's what it's all about. The Word became flesh. And then secondly, that you understand that Jesus became flesh for you, because of you and because of me. And get to know the real reason for Christmas. Would you pray with me? Father, it's good to be here in your Word this morning. I thank you for just the story that was portrayed over and over and over and over again through the presentation from the kids. And I just thank you, God, for our church, for just the way that you have given us your Word and your life for our sake, on our behalf. And we are grateful for that. We can't repay you, but we give ourselves to you. Lord, thank you for each and every person who has come, whether they come here every Sunday, or whether this is the first Sunday, or just one of the few Sundays they are here. Father, I pray that this Christmas, as they spend time with family, you would remind them again and again of what Christmas is all about, that the Word, your Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.